Hello and welcome back to Malahi, a Dream S&P podcast. This is episode 53 and today we'll be discussing how Foolish destroyed the egg and also going on some tangents. All right, we're back. We got
Hello. Three
people at the moment, and hopefully we'll have a fourth. Snowy has to update their laptop.
Yeah, you know, those random
the Windows updates.
When you're about to record an episode. The random Windows updates you never see coming, and then they're here. So, hello everyone. It's another episode. What are we going to talk about? We don't really know, because...
Foolish blew up the egg.
Yeah.
I don't think he blew it up. I think he just destroyed it.
He just destroyed it because his power changed or just the mechanics of it changed, but it's technically the same. He still can't die, but now it's not really a dying and reviving thing. Now it's just he physically cannot get below, I think, like 1.5 or below 2 hearts.
I think it's half a heart.
Or half a heart, maybe. As soon as he takes enough damage that would, you know, push him past that, it just stops. And he doesn't die. So, that's kind of stacked in its own way, because now you don't even have to deal with the death reanimation and losing your XP and stuff. Now you just physically can't. Which is kind of hilarious.
I mean,
and honestly,
it's
the perfect counter to the egg.
It doesn't mean you can't take advantage of the thing you do sometimes in Minecraft, you let yourself die to get back to somewhere. If you don't have anything important on you.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he's gotta get everywhere
but I don't think
he doesn't have
even,
any automatic teleportation.
Yeah, he couldn't even do that when he had the revive versus those.
Yeah,
so
but you know, it's like, it's the cost of immortality.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, it's kind of funny because there's, like, a bunch of different, like, fantasy media where you can become immortal, but it's, like, almost, like, a huge cost to it. And then you look at Dream SMP and it's like, oh yeah, you can't conveniently teleport.
Which, to be fair, you can't even really do on the Dream SMP anyways, unless you have an ender chest on you and you try and shove everything in your inventory into an ender chest.
Well, we don't have anything, like, pushed on you. Like, let's say you were, like, building something and you just have, like, a bunch of blocks in your inventory. Like, a bunch of dirt and wood.
That's fair. That's fair. You make a good point there. Yeah, no, so... But the egg's gone, which I think Foolish said that he's like, I don't think this will actually get rid of the egg problem.
He's
but,
just memeing.
You know,
he's just memeing around. I'm sure there's multiple eggs
still...
or something, so.
Right,
yeah,
like, yeah
like,
we did hear that.
Fungus like enough that I can believe that the egg that we see is more of like a bud.
Yeah.
Like a flower, kind of like. And the actual like. Rest of the organism is underground.
That's true. I do, although this talk of having multiple eggs, okay, this is gonna sound ridiculous and I don't really know where this came from, but I just thought of the idea of the egg being able to like move, and the way it does it is that it just gets up on its vines like
no.
These weird, like goofy like squid legs that are very like they're not even like they don't have bones, so they're just very flexible and just like jelly legs like trying
that's
to
disturbing.
Walk around and I don't know why, but it's just this big orb on these little jelly legs trying to walk, and I just for some reason that imagery in
that's the most disturbing
funny.
Image on the planet. You imagine that's like some Bloodborne boss level stuff, like some Elden Ring shit.
I mean, maybe
just this thing just wobbling
but
towards you.
I
like,
thought it was funny.
That almost...
Yeah, but, like, in a goofy, like, animated way. Hi, Snowy.
Hey.
Did you hear my hilarious, absolutely hilarious, idea of the egg being able to walk?
And to add on to that, I'm really sad that Foolish doesn't have confetti anymore.
That's true, he doesn't
have
sparkly
confetti.
Wait,
what?
That's a little sad.
What the?
Well, yeah, because when he would die, he would
totem of
like,
death animation.
Oh,
yeah, he would have that, but now he doesn't
aww.
Anymore.
That's
so
sad.
He's
tragic.
Yeah, like it's. I think
yeah.
So. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't been watching Foolish streams much at all. But wasn't this something that was hinted that that was implied to have happened, like, during CPK's stream where he and Punk and Foolish are investigating who killed Sam. During that stream, Foolish is there as well, and then he puts on his Batman costume, walks, and they're about to, basically they're about to leave and like stuff, so he walks over to the edge, jumps off, hits the ground, and from CPK's perspective, he doesn't die, obviously, but there's also no confetti.
I thought that was just,
and no damage,
like a distance thing, like he wasn't close enough. Because he was, like, out of render distance, but, and that's why there wasn't any...
I mean, render like, distance is, like, chunks, though, right? They're in this, they're more or less in the same chunk, because chunks don't account for height.
Maybe?
Right?
See, I mean, I know...
It might be just a thing with, like, maybe he has, like, particles turned off in his settings.
Maybe, but he also, like, we would, even at that distance, you would see the player turning red and take damage.
Maybe? I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. I know what you're talking about. I had not thought of that being a thing.
But yeah, again, I don't remember why. I didn't watch any of the Foolish's stream after that, so I don't know if it started, if we have video evidence that this change happened during, before or after that incident.
I'm not sure. That's interesting, though. Because I would have said it happened after and that hadn't been a thing then. But it could have changed and we just didn't know about it until much later.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's like dependent on Foolish being on the Dream SMP and then, like, jumping off a tall building.
Yeah. And it also kind of, like, begs the question of what does, what is it exactly? I'm losing my train of thought. It begs the question of, is the fact that he doesn't have his, like, totem revivey type thing because he ran out of it? Because remember, XD, like, warned him, was like, you can only use this a certain amount of time, so is this, like, his way of showing, like, hey, you're running low on numbers, or is this, you know, just an adaptation of the same power because... they had to change something coding-wise, or they were like, oh, we could use this plot-wise to solve the egg problem, or, like, develop the egg plot. Like, I'm kind of curious if it was more of a change from a writer standpoint of being like, this is a good idea for plot convenience, or if it was more of a, you know...
It might have been, like, team said, oh wait, I can code it like this, that would be really cool, and then changed it, and then Foolish is like, oh, I could use this to destroy the egg, that would be really cool.
I feel like it's a Dream decided to actually stop and make a code to make Foolish immortal and not just implement the Totem of Undying onto Foolish specifically. Because it took him, what, 30 minutes to do it? It seemed like.
Yeah, it's made out of, like, a bunch of netherracky stuff, and then, you know, what is the egg out of? It's made out of not nether wart, warped, is it crimson? Crimson fungi? Crimson hefelela? Whatever it's called.
Hefea?
Whatever that, it's some block from the nether, which I thought was, like, insta-mined.
Hose.
Yeah, hose insta-mined it, but I don't know, maybe the inside was obsidian or something. Maybe, and that's why it took so long.
I think it was probably... Well, did he use a hoe to mine it?
I have no idea. I didn't get to see that part.
Us when we were busy as they Dude, I'm just so upset at the streamers because they've always just been streaming when I'm, like, not there to watch it, and it's upsetting. They're targeting me specifically.
You got the curse.
/ J.
Yeah.
We are. This is what happens when you have a life outside of the DSMP.
They'll be like, oh, you're at work? Oh, you're at school? Scream time.
Literally.
Yeah,
this is the reason I'm probably not coming in the podcast much in, like, the next 2 weeks. It's because I've got exams. So I cannot afford to be watching any streams, reading any reading books.
Brave warrior, we shall wish you luck.
Yeah.
I am studying, like, how dumb Wilhelm II was.
History.
It's like, I think, like, every person in Ireland who does that part of the course just, like, automatically hates Wilhelm II. Because you spend the first part of that part of the course, right, learning all about Bismarck and how he was, like, really good at foreign policy. And then you go over to Wilhelm, and he's just awful at it. And now I'm gonna save a component way to try to tie this into GMSMP, because otherwise that is just a completely random tangent.
No, you're good.
It's all good.
Honestly, no, it is actually kind of interesting to think about the GMSMP in terms of, like, all that political stuff, especially when you come into, like, the countries. Like, when we do, like, dictators and stuff, we do a lot about propaganda, and especially, like, the rewriting of history, and that is a big thing with the Lambert.
Oh, yeah.
Ha!
To the point that, like, to the point that a bunch of the fandom believes that stuff. Because they haven't gone back to actually watch the
It's just a common thing in the Dream SMP in general of unreliable narration leading to unreliable histories.
But the thing is, it's
especially
like, it's
the
thing that Wilbur specifically did. Like, the writer Wilbur specifically did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's, unreliable narrators, I love them. I hate it when the people watching believe they're reliable narrators and go tell other people that they're reliable narrators, and then we just have a bunch of, trope-blind people attempting to make sense of the thing that's happening in front of them, and completely missing the point because they don't realize that they went into this thinking one thing when it's actually literally the other thing, and they can't seem to comprehend that they're complete- the fundamental basis of their thoughts is completely wrong. Or, like, their theories and ideas.
And, like, Lammenberg is, like, a really interesting... We look at it from the perspective of, like, the deconstruction of the myth of righteous revolution and how often leaders, especially leaders who are dictators, which Wilbur definitely was, like, he actively tried to rig an election that he didn't even want to have in the first place. It's very much like you see this passion throughout history of obviously, like, rewriting history, creating this very strong us versus them narrative and portraying everything as glorious revolution. Anything that goes against what the dictator wants is betraying the entire nation. And, like, you look at early Lammenberg stuff and Wilbur is basically just, like, doing all that.
Yeah.
Which is great writing.
And the other thing is you gotta factor in the because there is, like, the canonical sort of shrouding of the truth. I don't know, it's interesting because on the one hand, like, yeah, it's definitely it's definitely the, what the characters are providing is not factually correct. And then there's the element of, like, I'd honestly say a lot of the characters think they are being factually correct.
That's what being an unreliable narrator is about, though, right? They believe... So, like, the characters themselves, they believe everything they're spouting. But then, as a viewer, you should be able to recognize that they're bullshitting out of their asses.
I think one aspect of it,
even if
the
characters themselves don't realize
because
it.
Because it's something that's unique to the Dream SMP, is the aspect of, like, some of the creators themselves being influenced by the fandom perception of events.
Oh, yeah. Cough, Eric, cough.
Like, the whole Eric saying that Dream manipulated them thing is probably the biggest example, because if you look back at the actual VODs, it's very clear that that's not what's happening. And, like, it's obviously, like, a change that writer chose to make. Sort of fit in better with the common fandom perception of Dream's character at the time. You still see a bit with Puffy, although I suppose she has, like, it's not her fault as much because she did only come in after
fandom opinions were a thing.
Well, no, after the revolution against Manberg. So a lot of her opinions on earlier stuff, she, like, personally wasn't there for it. So a lot of what she's learned about it has been both from just role-playing with the characters while the characters are biased are from the fandom.
I will never get over how they're standing on top of the broken community house because Fundy blew it up.
People just keep blowing it up.
Well, no, Fundy put TNT
in a button with a diamond and Puffy blew it up. Rambu did it once and everyone decided it was the cool thing to do.
It was. They really did do that. No, so they're standing there and Puffy is just like, "Don't worry, Rambu. I don't believe that you..." Or she says something about Rambu blowing up the community house the first time, and then Rambu just sort of looks at her and goes, "What?" Because that's something Rambu knows, but no one else should know.
There is, like, a certain level, there's a certain...
Metagaming?
Yeah, metagaming! I don't know, it's just because, and, like, I don't mind it too much for certain things, because it's kind of funny, and it just kind of reminds you that, you know, it's just like this is just like a role play that people, you know, they do for fun.
It is funny, like, when people are like, "Oh, I saw it on my Nokia cell phone, I was on Twitter," and they're like, "They're a character on the Dream SMP." Like, that is funny sometimes, but, like, but sometimes you're like, okay.
The fact that Twitter is canon because of the elections,
yeah, is like, it's wild. It's funny at times. Other times you're just like, chill.
I don't know, it's just like, there's the metagaming, and then there's the whole propaganda dissuasion of the truth, because we also have to remember, like, yeah, there are characters who purposefully lie to other characters, but there's also the fact that, like, some of the characters are incredibly biased, and their content creators are also biased, because they're coming from, you know, they don't, at least especially early on, their characters don't know everything, and when they're... It's a lot of improv. I am not able to talk today. It's a lot of improv. So, it's very sort of random. You know, like, they have sort of an idea of what they're gonna...
talk or say or do.
You know, do, yeah. But it's not, you know, super well planned out. So you do have these moments of, you know, bias or metagaming, especially early on, and you see the content creators purposefully, like, do things to avoid that, like Aerith's betrayal. The Lamanburgians didn't know about it at all.
I feel like...
Until
it actually happened. But, like,
which was hilarious, which is amazing.
Yeah, but I also, I feel like you can't really compare those earlier days in Secrecies to the current stuff that's happening. Well, the fucking fight stage finale, Dream and Puns and Sam all giggling in a circle.
Yeah, it still happens to some extent with that stuff. And there is, like, a lot of, like, misinformation even between the CCs, which is fine. But then there's, like, also sort of, like, this level of, like, anything you show on screen...
everyone will know.
...is, like, has a chance... that other content creators would know it. But there's also the complete opposite thing. It was like, even if you show something on screen that, you know, reasonably they would know, there's 1,000% of a chance that they're not gonna have any fucking idea what you're talking about. Because even the content creators don't remember
everything that happens.
Anything.
I'm like, you know? I know how that can happen. Because, like, so on, like, the Green Pickaxe Discord server, you got, a Minecraft server with lore. And, like, despite being on, like, all three versions of that server at some point, and sometimes being there on quite a lot, I have barely any idea what the lore is. Like, the main thing I know was that Sunny's character was a god at some point.
Isn't Sweet's character a god right now?
I have been a god in both versions because I'm just epic like that.
My character just hangs around and farms tons of chickens.
Let's go.
And that is all. And I have absolutely no idea what's going on with the rest of the lore. Like, someone could be having a whole angsty arc. Like, my neighbor could be having a whole angsty arc and I would have no idea about it. So it is, like, a thing that happens with roleplay sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, and, like, I get it especially because, like, they stream, right? Mm-hmm. But... you know, obviously, they might tune in for some of it, but it's not like the content creators are constantly monitoring each other's channels to see what lore they do.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's like I don't know, it's very reminiscent of what I feel like has happened in some of the bigger RPs I've been in. But you know, it just reminds you, it's like, yeah, technically they're doing this like professionally in the sense that they're doing it for as a job, but you know, they're still just a bunch of chuckleheads that are just doing it on a much, are doing their personal like funny haha role plays, but on a much bigger level and getting a paycheck out of it, which is, you know, kind of the dream life, but you know, like,
yeah,
it's funny to see sort of like, because I think a lot of those things that we're noticing of like the meta gaming, the bias, the retconning every once in a while.
I started this all by talking about Wilhelm II being a dumbass.
Yeah, it's just coming from like, this isn't a obvious, it's not a polished show. They don't go through editors, they don't go through like beta testers. They just do whatever the fuck they want to on screen, and like, I understand that, but also at the same time, it's like, I feel like for sure now it's certainly evolved from just role playing with your friends, right?
Hello and welcome back to the Mella High Spotlight. This week we're recommending a lovely artist by the name of Luvian. They are mostly a Sleepy Boys ink artist with a specific interest in Technoblade. They have done a lot of techno artwork, as well as Phil for that good old Emerald Duo content I know you all love, as well as others like Wilbur for some Twins Duo, because I think that's what they're called, and some other Minecraft CCs who aren't even on the SMP, like SB737. She uses a lot of very light, watercolor-esque painting in her digital art that creates a very floaty and soft impression on their art that is sure to stand out and make them very unique. You can go and drop Luvian a follow at LuvianLeaf on Twitter. As always, if you have any ideas for a content creator of any kind, whether it be artwork, writing, videos, or some other kind of creation that you think should get a shout-out, let us know in our YouTube comments, our Twitter page, or on Discord. See you next time!
I think the thing is just like, if we're talking about a role play and talking about politics, is that fundamentally humans are the same no matter what level you're on. So even if you have just like a bunch of people messing around in Minecraft, you are gonna get things that happen that have similarities to politics, to stuff that happens in the real world, just because that's how people tend to interact, whether it's good stuff or bad stuff. Although, obviously, if it's roleplay, people aren't really going to care about it as much as they would care about, like, if it was real stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you are going to get those parallels because humans are humans.
Mm.
Yeah.
And especially because if you are trying to tell a story, you're going to look to the real world for inspiration for that, which is very much what Wilbur did.
Wilbur, yeah. Making satire commentary on politics. DSMP fans. Oh my god, the Manberg was such a good place. It was a home and it was a family.
He was literally building walls to keep people he didn't want out of the country. While Trump was president, while Brexit was happening.
He even like, made it like,
we're really gonna make the Americans pay for
really
our walls.
Make a more social metaphor.
If you watch the debate, it's like very clear he's like emulating Trump.
He's like, no dual citizenship.
He doesn't even make it like a secret. You're like, that's exactly who he's emulating. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And, like, I've seen people get offended about it.
I mean, why would they get offended if it's, like, legit what he was doing? Like, what?
Yeah.
I think, I read somewhere
like,
on
Wilbur
Tumblr.
Wilbur has, like, made it very clear that his character is not meant to be a good person. He's just meant to be a person.
I actually read something on Tumblr about how they believe that Wilbur, the content creator, would be respectful enough of the current situation in America that he would not be playing Trump as a character.
And Wilbur Smith, like, the content creator, has been functioning on satire since the beginning of his
critique,
channel.
It's making fun.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think there's actually a I think there's actually, like, a whole problem with, like, how a lot of people, especially, like, people who are, like, terminally online, interpret media.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this media has bad thing in it. Clearly, this means that the people who make this media
are bad.
Endorse bad thing, even if that media is explicitly criticizing the bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure, I think at one point, I saw somebody say that, like, Full Metal Alchemist was, like, pro-Nazi or something, when it is literally
a story about
a group
Nazis
of revolutionaries overthrowing a fascist government that oppresses a specific ethnic group.
Somebody watched
and tries
Metal
to kill all of them.
Just, what the fuck?
Keyword being overthrow. Someone watched Full Metal Alchemist and thought that the MSTN government were the good guys, apparently.
Oh my god. No, it's like, and I think personally the reason why I found it so weird and off-putting that they were saying that Wilbur Sit wouldn't be so disrespectful as to play a character like Trump. What gets me is that you think Wilbur Sit, the guy who's living in the UK, who is not American, would be connected or, like, care enough about... care enough, but obviously it's not really that, right? But would be, like, personally connected enough to be personally offended by Trump's actions, or to be personally harmed by Trump's actions, and therefore consider he should be quote-unquote respectful towards the situation that's happening in America, that's across the sea, that's literally a country apart that he is not a citizen of. It's like...
It's American centrism.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's like, so I don't know if you guys have heard of this movie called Turning Red.
Yeah.
Pixar film.
Yes.
Oh yeah, the thing where a guy was like, why didn't
the
setting is in Canada. It's in Canada. It's in Canada. It's not in America. Why would 12-year-old Canadian children care about the shit that's happening in America?
No, it was like a YouTuber who made like a whole video where he did like
that. It had to be like that. There's no way. There's no fucking way. Like,
I have seen people comment on why, why didn't they mention 9/11? Why didn't they mention 9/11? Why didn't they mention 9/11?
That's like being, why didn't Shrek mention 9/11? Like, why would they mention, like, oh my god. Whatever.
Like, I get that it's set in a similar time period of just a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, but it's completely, but like,
again,
it's in a world where, like, people turn
it's in Toronto.
Yeah, and it's also in a world where, like, people turn into, like, big red pandas. Like, it's...
Giant red pandas!
Also, could be, like, up to over a year after, because I think, I'm not sure, do we know what month it's set in?
Does it matter?
Because I assume it's in 2002. But if it's set after September 2002, then it's over a year.
Yeah. No, I'm just, it's a little insane, isn't it? That, first off, it's a Pixar movie, it's an animated film, and it's about people turning into giant red pandas. Why would you expect real life, elements of real life things in it, but it's like,
any Americans here, basically they're, like, about American syndrome, like, there is, like, the saying that, like, if you ask an American where they're from, they'll tell you, like, the state or the city that they're from. If you ask anyone else from anywhere else in the world where they come from, at least when you're not in that the country that they come from,
the country.
They will just tell you the country.
Just the country's name. Because, like, I don't expect
Americans
people
like,
to know.
Oh, I'm from Ohio. And then everyone else sits in there like, just say you're from the U.S.
I mean,
you've got a fairly uniform culture with only regional differences.
They gotta let you know if they're from Cali
from the US.
or the East Coast, you know? Like, they gotta let you know, if like, West Coast, East Coast, North or South. They gotta let you know.
I mean, like, yes, America is the landmass of America is pretty big, and there's probably going to be lots of differences between people living really up it north depends, and really like, up south. But when you're in a foreign country and they ask you where you're from, you don't specify the state. You just say the country.
Yeah, I depends on the situation. What I'll say, I'll just be like, yeah, U.S. America. Yeah, be like, they'll be like, I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania. You'd be like, what the fuck is that? which that's a random example.
Is that close to Transylvania?
Wait, is Transylvania like a real place? I feel really dumb asking this question.
Yes.
I think it is a real place. Romania or something.
I hear about it in like films.
Let me double check. I'm pretty sure it's a region of Romania. Oh shit. Okay. But I'm not 100% sure of that.
I think the reason you hear about it in films is because the setting for Dracula takes place around that area.
Yeah, Transylvania is a region of
Romania. That makes sense.
Yeah. So like then they're taking stuff from Dracula the original and then making all these parodies or like whatchamacallits. So they're taking information from the source book,
people who are not from the US make about people from the US, and that's it, that you just have like the worst geography education.
It depends. Yeah.
Depends. Like, I grew up in primary school, we had like these maps where you would put pins down on like all the names of the countries in Europe or the capitals of the country in Europe. I mean, like, to be fair, was that dated? Like, it's still a Czechoslovakia on it. And by the time I was in school, that had been gone for like 20 years. So it was a bit outdated, but it taught us the basics.
We didn't really focus on capitals, we just focused on country names and multiple classes. And like where they were. Yeah. The problem was is you only did it for like a week. So and then like
I was gonna say a year, but a week.
And we also focused like way harder on like figuring out like, learn where all 50 US states are and all of their names. And
honestly,
sometimes
I could identify where
too.
Like to be fair, I could only identify where like a handful.
That's
of
totally
US
fair because sometimes
everyone knows where Texas is because it's the fuck you state.
When they bring up the northeastern states, I'm like, I don't
fucking
know.
I could identify like California, Oregon, whatever it's called, Oregon.
We actually had to memorize a song.
Session, Oregon. Obviously Texas, Washington. New York.
Wait, sweet. Did you memorize that one song with the states?
I feel like they tried to teach me to memorize that song, but I can't.
I can still do it.
Like I don't remember it.
It lives in my head rent free.
I mean, I never learned the alphabet, so sometimes.
Oh
that's
my god!
Happens.
Yeah, we had to memorize a song, and it was.
It makes searching through things that are alphabetical a real pain.
To be fair, they had a lot of, like, national anthems or, like, patriotic songs. Like, when I was in second grade or third grade or something, they literally had every single day at the beginning of school, we would have to do a different patriotic song, and, like, two kids
I did go to a primary school where we prayed twice a day.
See, we didn't have to do that.
Indoctrination,
at least
people.
The only time we had a flag of the country in our school was when a couple of people from the Defense Force brought it in to talk about the anniversary of the 1916 East Rising, which was like this uprising against the British in Dublin that failed pretty terribly. Pretty much it failed on purpose. It's like a whole controversial thing with the guy who set it up, because it was like blood sacrifice, but then it led to people getting more angry at the British, which led to the War of Independence.
You should say
but like that was
sacrifice?
We didn't have it was like a whole thing with Frederick Pierce and the idea of well, we're probably all gonna die doing this, but at least it will like motivate people to fight against the British more.
Martyring.
Wow.
Martyring.
Martyrs. Jesus.
That's something. I mean, at least, you know what, to bring it back to Dream SMP, even if nothing else, at least we can say that LeMandberg
Wilbur would have had everyone singing the anthem, standing up for, like, the pledge to the LeMandberg flag everywhere. You know it would have happened. You know it would have been a thing. Like,
That's true. They did have the whole, like, Milo Manberg thing that they got everyone to sing multiple times.
I'm like, so maybe I shouldn't say anything about indoctrination.
He would have been like, every president must hang a Manberg flag over the hearth or something. Like, it would have, like...
Let's just
They did freak out. They did freak out when the flag burned down. That was
a
thing.
That's true.
Oh,
that
was
a big thing for them.
And I think that's actually like one of the reasons that Wilbur ended up being so pissed off at Fundy is because he's the one who burnt down.
Fundy is big.
Listen.
Fundy is big.
Good for Fundy. Yeah. We all should all do some anti-patriotic flag burning here and there, especially if your country's a dickhead. So
I just don't try burning any EU flags because they're like because the regulations are actually not flammable. The British tried that with Brexit. It did not work. It was very funny.
That's kind of wild. I mean, why don't America, you know,
also
do that?
Make sure you get the right flag because there are people like Wales up in Northern Ireland who like have tried to burn like the Irish flag. This is one really famous example where they got the wrong flag. They got the Ivory Coast flag, which is just like the Irish flag except the other way around.
Okay.
Oh, well, like, presumably, like, they got, like, it was probably easier to spy an Irish flag, but then they put it upside down.
True.
So if you want to burn a flag, make sure it's actually flammable, and make sure it's the right one, and you haven't, like, put it upside down. You know, don't go burning the flag of Vietnam instead of the flag of Poland.
Don't fuck up.
Ensure
at least
the flag
the American
burning
flag
is flammable.
Very distinct. You can't fuck it up. Like, it's, like, yeah, come on. Like...
I know, there's a lot of flags that are...
It's true.
Blue... red and white and have stars on them largely because of the British.
I think the Canadian flag is pretty distinct.
Are the fault of the British.
It's the leaf, right?
Okay,
let's just talk about flags for a little while.
Okay, but
I think the flag's pretty distinct. I don't feel like I've seen
the Manberg flag design is actually
if I have to give a flag some credit, like the Manberg flag is really cool. And the iterations of the Manberg flag
physical,
are really
like, construction of the flag.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't...
New Zealand and Austria's flags look... Or, no, sorry. New Zealand and Australia's flags look basically identical. The only difference is the stars.
It's the British influence.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I can never tell the difference.
It's the British colonization.
Norway and Iceland's are just, are just reversed versions of each other.
I mean,
The Irish flag
Canadian flag is just
the
leaf,
France because
so...
The first Irish flag was made by French people.
Because,
you know, like, French Revolution, and then they were like, oh, we'll help you out with your revolution, and it ended up not going great,
shit.
But we got a flag out of it.
Japan's flag is a dot, and
okay, so
Korea's
I'm trying
flag
to find information, and apparently
is
the
a dot
people
with extra.
In fandom wiki calls the Manberg an independent socialist nation.
I wouldn't call them socialists.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They're no more socialist than the rest of the team.
I think that when Tubbo was running it, he was trying to make it, like, more socialist, but not under Wilbur. Jesus Christ, that was not...
Not under Wilbur. I don't think they had a form of government under Wilbur. Well, not even... I said government,
he wanted capitalism,
society?
And capitalism has its own, like, rules for, like, the sort of governments you can make and have capitalism, so...
Okay, so according to this, let's see if I can find a link to the Reddit comment.
We're getting into the deep Lemberg lore.
I made sure the flag was easy to draw, discernible from either plane, but also not memorable and not boring. Also memorable and not boring. Star color contrast.
I don't know why, for some reason, I thought
the blood of revolution. Therefore, I wanted to incorporate elements of the French tricolor, borrowing the darker shades of blue and red. Lemberg is predominantly European, and during its formation, almost every European player on the server, so this influenced my design a lot. The three courses symbolize a Dutch citizen and are directly referencing the flag of Amsterdam. The blue stands for liberty, the white stands for peace, and the red, the foundation and underlying color of the flag, stands for the blood the country is built on. By which he means the time that they all got beat up in a bunker and lost all their stuff. The yellow and black accentations denote the walls of the nation, a huge black and yellow rampart that they used to keep anyone they didn't like at.
What's the one that has the hearts on it? Hold on. There's one of the...
Oh, the heart one was the new Lamanberg that one that Tobin made.
Yeah.
I liked the new Lamanberg flag. I thought it looked nice. To be fair, I liked all the flags. Lamanberg, if anything,
I think it's
Lamanberg
funny how Lamanberg flags keep
flags.
Showing up at the weirdest places.
Dude.
Right? They keep showing up at, like, rallies.
Have you seen those posts that are like, what does it mean?
Huh.
What does this flag and, like, mean? And it's like somebody, like, desperately trying to figure out what the flag means.
No, yeah. Actually, though, every single time something from the Dream SMP leaks, not only into real life, but then into media.
Oh my
popular
god.
Real
yeah,
life
it's almost
media.
Always the flag. Except for that one time when there was a lady on the
Bad
news
Boy Halo
chicken.
That
Bad
was
Halo.
Fucking surreal.
That was pretty much it.
I wasn't like named by like a kid she babysat or something?
Yeah, I think it was her kid or niece or something. Either way, that was iconic.
This is Bad Boy Halo.
Dude, you guys have you seen those like alignment charts?
No, the biggest leak is when I heard like the boys in my class mention Tommy in it, and that just like made me go, eh? And then I like literally like a month ago, I heard someone in my class at lunch watching a Technoblade video, and I'm just like, you are people I know in real life. You are not meant to be watching Minecraft videos.
No, but actually, have you guys seen the whole alignment chart things where they have the real life, where they have the DSMP entering real life spaces, and it's just like Lawful Evil, the Bad Boy Halo Chicken what? One.
What's the Lamanberg flag at the what was it? A anti
vax rally?
Yeah. Oh my god, that's probably like fucking what?
I don't
chaotic
know.
Chaotic evil.
I think there was another one recently.
It's and just, then someone brought it to a pride parade, and I was like, "This is the dichotomy."
There's a Dream SMP Wikipedia page, and the anti-vaccine rally is listed on there.
Oh my god!
Which is wild.
Who? Like you know, somebody just googled freedom flag, and then Lamanberg showed up.
An offhand joke post on Tumblr made at the expense of the Dream SMP fandom led to the creation of a fan-made server with its own plot and lore known as the Penis SMP on Wikipedia.
Iconic.
With
it made it onto Wiki?
Iconic.
Oh my god!
It's on Wikipedia.
Oh my god!
Dream SMP was listed as a genre on Spotify Wrapped in late 2021, which I completely forgot
about,
but
like,
it was
people
wild.
I knew were getting it, and they don't know what Dream SMP is, and they were like, what the hell is this? And I was like...
Yeah, honestly, I think I mostly got it because I just listened to Debbie Fox music so much, because I don't
they were
listen
like
to
a
many
Libin
Dream SMP
fan,
fan songs.
And I was like, well, that's why you got the Dream SMP genre. Like...
I'm sorry, I'm still not over the fact that Penis SMP made it onto the official Wikipedia.
Penis SMP's base.
I mean, that's kind
of
great,
but I don't know, some of them might be fan-made. I think some of them are fan-made. You've got the Lamanberg, New Lamanberg, Snowchester, and Manberg. Those are all official, but there's also ones that... I think the Kanoko Kingdom one is made official, but... There's one for Las Nevadas, Boomerville, and Drywaters, and I don't think those are official.
I think my soul just ascended
like
from
the
my body.
One. It
the Snowchester cool. flag is really cool.
Looks like the Welsh flag. It's got Welsh vibes.
There's so many good flags!
Snowchester flag looks like
that's
the
why it's good.
Gay flag.
Hey guys, did you know that the... The saturated unlabeled flag is just DNF.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That shit is so funny to me.
It's funny.
I love that the new merch is literally the unlabeled flag, but
it's like
also could just be like the DNF flag.
DNF,
like,
okay. DNF. Oh, it's literally DNF, and then there's also a hoodie with DNF but SapNap.
Oh my god.
DNF but with SapNap.
Well, when I first saw it, my first thought was that I saw people had was like, oh, it's the unlabeled flag. And only after that was did I see someone else be like, oh, it's like the Dream Team colors. And I'm like, oh. And then somebody else said, it's just a desaturated DNF flag. Like, oh.
Three levels. Three levels to this merch, guys. There's three levels.
Yeah, they really just planned that one out really.
Very good marketing.
Yeah, like, oh damn. Mm.
Anyway, I think it would be a good idea to wrap up now.
What did we also even talk about this episode?
I don't know, but I hope we sure mentioned
just like
punk.
A whole bunch of stuff. I have no idea when I go to write the episode description on Monday. I have no idea what I'm gonna write. I'm probably just gonna write.
We talk about things.
That's gonna be the episode description. We talk about stuff. Anyway, so question of the week. I think we got a couple answers.
Oh yeah, which wasn't our question.
Hey,
like
midnight.
Who's the worst?
Who was the best political leader?
Who's the best political leader? Right. I know at least one of the answers was Schlatt, which I can't completely.
Guys, I think the only people who answered it was Sweet.
I mean, no, I think
the other person responded that they had to think about it.
One person responded to you and said, I think, yeah, let's just talk about it, and then we'll come up with another question. But yeah, I think Schlatt was actually, like, a pretty good leader.
I think Punk was the best political leader ever,
kinda.
That they weren't a political leader.
I mean, that's really all you can wish for, am I right?
Okay, but look, here's my suggestion. The egg.
Ooh.
Because,
look, the egg managed to have a whole group of people who were, like, completely loyal to it. That
I
makes
mean,
it a really good leader.
But that's not really political,
yeah,
though.
But consider...
And it also successfully used deception. Which is very good for a leader.
But consider, how many of his
goals
diplomacy. Did
it actually
I feel like Schlatt achieved all his goals.
That's kind of hard to tell because we don't really know what its goals are, but it did have vines covering a large chunk of the server at one point, which I think is definitely part of
I
its goals.
I want to say...
It also survived and did not die, and also encountered stuff like explosions, which it would later learn to resist. So it's become stronger
over
time.
But
so I think
counter argument,
that way.
They were the egg was a leader, yes, but I wouldn't call them a political leader.
Yeah, I'd say if that was gonna, if you wanted one of those for Eggpire, then
bad.
That would go to like bad. Yeah, that'd be a.
Well,
BBH.
Yeah, actually, it might be more accurate to describe the egg as a religious leader, and then bad is the political representative.
Is he the religious? Is it the religious
of
leader,
that
or more like the deity? Though
that's a good question.
I think it can be done.
Oh god.
Like,
guys, I just had a thought of
votes,
Dream
so
XD coming down
well.
To become the religious leader of themselves.
Oh god. No, that's a terrible idea.
But yes, I think that I can be both the god and the leader of the religion because Jesus managed to
Jesus
do it.
Jesus isn't a god, though.
True.
No, Jesus
well,
is god.
Like...
It's, it's the Trinity.
Is.
It's like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they're all God. But they're also all three distinct entities. Which is like a whole thing. But yeah, that's the whole thing with Catholicism and Christianity, is that God is both a singular entity and three separate entities. And actually, this really interesting aspect of it is that this is called what's called a triple deity. And they're quite common in Indo-European religions, largely, like, more common in European religions specifically, but they also show up in more Indo and Indian subcontinent
religions. I also didn't know any of this stuff until I had to go to a Catholic school and
but
take
basically,
a Bible class.
So, the Christian God is actually, like, unusual in that it's a masculine God, when usually triple deities are feminine.
It's because feminine
and Irish mythology has a bunch of triple deities. So, I think it's actually considered one of the theories is why Ireland adopted Christianity so quickly and so easily compared to a lot of other places. Is because, like, the ideas just meshed. Like, they said, hey, we've got this god that is also three gods. And we were like, we have ones like that too.
I started to think that we need a bingo card for the Melahai episodes, and one of the slots is just
talk
get
about...
Sai to talk about Irish history. Or just, in general, have all of us go off on a tangent about the history of A or multiple
Wait,
countries.
This means that everybody...
in their cultures. Because this happens too
It means
too
that
often.
Everybody who drew the egg as, like, a very tall woman was right.
True.
Yes.
Yes.
They were right. She's a goddess, okay? Because, like, that's...
Like, listen, Okay, wait. So, that female egg... representation is God, and then Red Velvet is Jesus. And this whole egg
and then
thing
the actual
is about
egg
the coming
is
of
the
Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah, because Red.
Red Velvet comes out of the egg. Does that make the egg like an ologist?
Oh my god, you're going in too deep.
Back out.
Does that make Scappy?
I don't know. Wait. I have to think about this.
Because, like, I'm pretty sure Scappy was literally inside the egg at one point, so.
Why would you say that?
Does that make Red Velvet, like, the child of Skeppy and, like, the egg? Or Skeppy the egg and Bad? Because I feel like Bad had something to do with Skeppy going into the egg. So I feel like that somehow. Is it a Skeppy Halo? Is this Red Velvet's canonical parentage?
Why would you do this?
Because if Red Velvet could have it anyway, that's how he would want it.
Look, if Wilbur can do it, I can do it.
True. I still can't believe it.
Okay, I think this is a good place to end. What do you guys want to do for the question of the week? Any ideas?
If Red Velvet's going to join the SMP, what cursed parentage will you give him?
We just gave him one, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way. What is a good question of the week? We talked about the egg a little bit. What do you think the egg's gonna do, or now that it's
main thing is destroyed? I feel like maybe it's too open-ended. We might not get many answers to that. Maybe something that's, like, more straightforward?
Maybe?
Oh, did Foolish burn the parts of the eggs he destroyed?
No, he put them in a chest and left them there for later.
Okay, so who do you think is gonna find that chest and do something with the egg?
Bad.
CPK when he gets possessed.
Actually, that sounds like a
CPK.
Plot.
It'd be kind of funny if it's completely random though, and they get possessed. That would be so fun.
I think it's gonna be CPK.
We just get like an Eggpire 2.0 with just like completely different characters. That would be so fun.
My guess is CPK. That just seems like it would. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the question of the week. Who do you think will find the remains of the egg that CPK find?
Yes.
And
yes.
That's us for this week. Bye, see ya.
Goodbye.
Well, thanks for listening to the 53rd episode of Mahi, and we hope you enjoyed it. If there's any topic you'd like to hear us discuss, feel free to leave a comment or find us on Twitter at Mahi Podcast, where you can also ask us questions or just get updates of any new episodes. We also have a Discord server that you can find a link to in the description. See you next time!